powers of the land. Sun sapphires embody the powers of light and life. If you found more of these dichotomous jewels, you might be able to trigger more bonuses from the Forge of Heavens. You have already discovered one of seven gems which embody light and another basic element, which leaves six more to be found. Success conditions. Discover the seven jewels whose nature is linked half to light and half to another basic element. Reward, unknown, but graded to increase with each stone found. Penalty for failure or refusal, none. Do you accept? Yes or no? Richter accepted it easily, as he'd already had the same thought. He wasn't sure what a perihelion was, but there was no doubt in his mind that either the scholars or Randy would be able to clue him in. Futon was floating close by as usual and took the note to pass the quest information on to the three men. Richter and the other smiths spent a few minutes clapping Crom on the back and praising him for making his first masterwork armor, even if he had gotten a little help. The mountain dwarf told Richter that doing so had actually earned him no less than three profession quests. Each quest should earn him more talent points when he finished them. That went on until Alma had apparently gotten her fill of men ignoring her and shot a bolt of lightning in consternation. The jagged electricity hit the central anvil that Richter, Crom, and a few other dwarves happened to be touching. They all jumped back with curses and oaths. Richter started to scold her, but Crom stopped him with a chuckle.
"No, your lordship, the little beastie be right. I did promise to show her the new toys, and it be my fault for forgetting. Besides, it no be wise to make a woman feel neglected."
Alma looked at Richter pointedly after Crom said that.
"I learned that lesson from me ninth girlfriend, Helga. At least your dragon used a wee bit of magic on me hand. Helga took a hammer to me head."
Crom chortled over the errors of his youth and walked over to the heavy elementum chest. Opening the seamless block with a thought, he withdrew three items. Richter examined them, and his mouth dropped open in shock. The armor Crom had made for him had been wonderful. The Sunstone Gem had been an unexpected and wonderful gift. In Richter's opinion, his boosted luck was working overtime. What he was looking at now, though, brought a literal tear to his eye. It was a set of Psi Dragonling armor. "Crom," Richter began, at a loss for words. "How?" The dwarf was smiling broadly at Alma. He had set the shining items down on the anvil, and the dragonling was walking around them in inspection.
"There be one more talent that I dinna tell ye about, your lordship. We have all come to love your little beastie, and I couldna keep thinking about how her wee body wasna protected. As soon as ye came back, I bought a talent called Barding. If I can lay my hands on a creature, then I can see what armor or weapons they might be able to use."
Richter hadn't taken his eyes away from the shining silver items, but he had still been paying attention. "So you were able to come up with schematics for this?"
No, Crom responded, shaking his head. "Schematics would work for any and everybody that would try to make this here armor. Me talent guides me to do just what is needed to fit the creature I touched. Even if I tried to explain it and write it down, it wouldn't work for anyone else."
He smiled again.
"But thanks to the big boost in productivity, you got the whole village and, I imagine, a bit of the luck floating around, I was able to almost finish these afore the sun set yesterday. I left the last bit till now, so that you could enchant them when I were done."
Crom's smile slipped when he said the next part.
"I must be honest with you, my lord. I know you charged me with making true silver weapons, but the true potential of the metal still be beyond me. It be an adept rank metal, so everything I make will be one quality level less than if me smithin rank were higher than journeyman. That be why the claws only be well-crafted, and the armor be exceptional. I did me best, but the penalty showed itself."
"You've done amazing, man," Richter told him, laying a hand on his shoulder. The dwarf looked at him gratefully. "I wouldn't have anyone else making my gear, and one day you will be a mastersmith." Crom took a deep breath, visibly swelling with pride over his lord's praise.
"I need a few minutes before I can finish her armor. 10 minutes or so. You have time to decide what you want to inspell your beastie's new armor with.
True to his word, Crom finished all the armor in short order. There was a moment when Alma spoke aloud and then locked eyes with the smith. Crom shook his head and tried to object, but ultimately conceded. After that, Crom retrieved a vial of dark black powder and worked it into each piece. The metal lost its shine and became a dull silver that would not reflect light. Richter understood without even needing to be told. As powerful as the true silver items were, if they stayed gleaming, Alma would be a target on the battlefield. With them darkened, she would still be able to hide, though the armor would probably still negate the chameleon enhancement he had purchased for her. As each item was finished, Richter spent captured souls with abandon. He used the very last of his luminous souls, and he had to spend several more common souls besides. Nothing was too good for his familiar. What made it even better was that a beam shot out from the central anvil when Crom finished the chainmail, bathing the armor in white light. The Forge of Heavens has automatically upgraded the quality of the true silver mail armor of the Psi Dragonling from superb to exquisite. That boost to quality not only let him place stronger enchantments on the armor, but also increased its defense at the same time. There was normally a 10% chance for any forged item to jump up a level in quality, and Richter was more than happy that his luck had helped keep his familiars safe.
"You truly are a lucky bastard, your lordship," Crom said with a laugh.
"I think we both are," Richter told him, equally excited.
"You must have been talking to one of me ex-wives, ha ha!"
Crom turned to look at Alma.
"Now come here, you beautiful beastie. Let me get on your new clothes."
Crom picked up the first item, a sheet of chainmail as light as a feather but powerful and the bane of evil creatures. The links were so tiny Richter could barely make them out. Even with magic, it didn't seem possible that the smith could have made it. Crom helped Alma place a leg through each of the four prepared holes and then clasped the open end together. The fit was so perfect that it was snug like a second skin. Her dusky black body now looked to be made of dark silver. Next, he picked up the claws, which looked like a pile of spikes, none longer than an inch. Crom's talent had even guided the smith to leave a hollow channel along the length of each claw, so Alma could still make use of her psi poison. It took no time at all for him to slip them onto her feet. Last, he picked up the male coif. It fit over her head and down the length of her neck. There it attached to the chainmail covering her body and merged into a seamless piece. Crom explained that the first rank of his talent, barding,
"only let me make what be considered light armor by whatever creature be wearing it. Every metal, even quicksilver, was too heavy, and I thought I might have to use leather for you, wee lass."
He looked at Richter with a broad grin.
"Then you gave me those wonderful true silver rinds from the quickening. Even though I dinna have the skill yet to work it perfect, I be sure you will agree it be well worth the 2 ingots I used."
When Alma was wearing her new raiment, he examined the final stats of her new armor. "You have found true silver mail armor of Slick Life. Defense +20, +400% versus Abyssal, +200% versus Demonic and Hellish, +100% versus Evil, not cumulative. Durability 302 of 302. Item class Rare. Armor type Body, Light. Quality Exquisite. Weight 0.3 kilograms. Traits +2% Death Resistance, +10 Life Defense, +100% versus Death, +3 to 4% Difficulty for enemies to hold the wearer. Requirements: can only be worn by a Psi Dragonling. You have found True Silver Attack Claws of Shattered Ice, x4. Attack 18 to 19, +400% versus Abyssal, +200% versus Demonic and Hellish, +100% versus Evil, not cumulative. Armor type, Claws, Light. Quality, Well-Crafted. Weight, 0.03 kilograms. Traits: +10% damage to spell barriers, +6 to 7 earth damage, +200% versus air, +300% versus crystalline, 5% chance to disarm, 3% chance to shatter, +3 to 4 water damage, +100% versus fire. 3% chance to freeze. Requirements, can only be worn by a Psi Dragonling. Charges, 810 of 810. You have found True Silver Male Coif of Slick Life. Defense, +16. +400% versus Abyssal. +200% versus Demonic and Hellish. +100% versus Evil. Not cumulative. Durability, 314 of 314. Item class, Rare. Armor type, Head, Light. Quality, Exceptional. Weight, 0.1 kilograms. Traits, +2% life resistance. +8 life defense. +100% versus death. +2% difficulty for enemies to hold the wearer. Requirements, can only be worn by a Psi Dragonling. He had decided to focus on defense. The life armor enchantment would protect Alma from any attack and would be twice as effective against death attacks. For the claws, he had added his highest ranked attack enchantments, freeze and sonic damage. Alma had always been able to hold her own in a fight, but Richter had never stopped worrying about her low health and fragile body. At last, she had a defense that would match her offensive capabilities. The stress on his heart eased just a bit. Crom told him that he was sorry that he hadn't been able to come up with anything to protect her wings or her tail. The smith explained that the first rank of the barding talent only offered a few choices, but that further ranks would show him how to make additional weapons and armor for Alma and other creatures. He also revealed that there were more talents branching off from barding that would let him make her medium and even heavy armor. One day, she might wear an entire suit of plate mail. If she could meet the requirements of such items, of course. Richter told him again how wonderfully he'd done, then asked another question. Can you add one of these onto her armor with your gem-forging talent? He opened the brown pouch holding the Psi crystals from the Chupacabras. Alma had been strutting around on top of the Elementum anvil, entirely impressed with herself in her new armor and expecting everyone else to be so as well. As soon as the psychic light fell upon her, though, she forgot all about her true silver items and leaped into Richter's arms so she could be closer to the blue-white gems. The Dragonling crooned softly as she watched their inner radiance slowly spin. Crom examined the Psi crystal, but unfortunately, it wouldn't register with his talent. Maybe because it was a crystal. Maybe because it wasn't naturally occurring in the land, the dwarf didn't know, but he said he could add another jewel. The problem was, he didn't know which jewel did what until it was added to a piece of armor, and that was an expensive game of trial and error. Luckily, they had a whole village worth of people to call on. Grandolphus didn't know anything about it, and the jeweler, Davin, had never helped in magical smithing before. It was Hisako that came to the rescue. Richter had left the forge and found her in the catacombs, putting the finishing touches on the attack plan. She looked a bit annoyed at being distracted to talk about gems, but was able to help. In her library back at the Hearth Tree, she had a book that detailed the magical properties of gems. She hadn't read it in quite some time, but she was able to jot down a few qualities that she remembered. She also told him that gems had multiple levels of attributes, but she only remembered a few of the first-level properties. Diamond, increases perception. Aquamarine, increases water spell power and resistance. Amethyst, increase death spell power and resistance. Topaz, increase movement speed. Amazonine, decreases stamina consumption. Onyx, increases concealment. Ruby, increases fire spell power and resistance. Richter just had to copy her library. It was definitely going to be a priority after the battle. Forging with gems was more powerful than he had thought at first if it could increase secondary attributes like concealment and perception. What if he could find one that would increase his creativity or his intuition? For Alma, though, there was only one choice. Richter already knew he had a large stone in the treasury, so he retrieved it and then ran back to the forge. Only moments later, a large black gem was floating through the air and melding itself to Alma's armor. This time, it didn't just embed itself in the small links of her armor. Instead, the onyx seemed to drain into the links of armor, and each piece turned jet black. Richter asked if Crom had meant to do that, but the smith was surprised as well. All he could guess was that the color change had something to do with the fact that all of Alma's gear had been made out of true silver. Richter had chosen a large 5-carat gem that was triangle-cut and brilliant in clarity. It had been appraised by Hafiz in law at 7 gold crowns, 3 silver marks, and 5 copper shills. The fact that it didn't cost as much as the sun sapphire didn't factor into Richter's decision-making at all, of course. Not at all. The important point was the prompt that appeared when it was added. Know this. Each carat of onyx used by a smith with the jeweled essence talent increases concealment by +0.5. The brilliant clarity of the stone increases this bonus by 400%. Alma jumped into the air, exultant over her new gear. Richter looked up to check the stats of her body armor again, or at least he tried to. He had to search for several seconds until he saw her. His own perception was +15, but it seemed her new armor had added to her base concealment enough that her value was higher, or at least very near his own. When he finally did see her, he realized his eyes had just slid over her hiding place several times before locking on. "You were hiding, huh?" he asked with a chuckle. She trilled her mighty prowess and hopped back into his arms. Crom took a half step back as the dwarf hadn't been able to see her until she jumped back into the light.
"I guess the gem works, eh, your lordship?"
Richter couldn't disagree. Checking her armor stats, he saw that the gem had increased her concealment by +13. Coupled with the enchantments and strong defense the true silver armor gave, the dragonling wasn't just ready for battle. She was ready for war. The Chaos Seed left the forge, needing to check on a few other things before the battle. First, he sent Futin to find Roswan. He sent a message that he'd meet the elf in 30 minutes by the Well of Offering. Then he walked across the street to the Dragon's Cauldron. Having the core buildings next door to each other was already making his life easier, though he was fairly certain the short-legged dwarves would be complaining before long about having to walk up and down the hill each day. Inside his alchemy core building, he found Tabia, hard at work. She laid down the vial she'd been holding when she noticed her lord.
"You are to thank for the new noisy neighbors, my lord."
"Thought you might be lonely," Richter told her with a smile.
"Very thoughtful. Random clanging and banging is exactly what I need when performing exacting chemical reactions."
"Oh," Richter thought. He hadn't really considered that.
"What have you got for me?"
he asked brightly. She glared at him for a bit longer, but Tabia was an old soldier, and it wasn't the first time her superior officer had pulled a bonehead move before.
"I wasn't able to make as many potions as you wanted, my lord, and you took a large amount of the health potions for the dungeon battle," she began.
"I know," Richter responded, nodding. "Just give me what you have. I know you've done your best."
"As you say, my lord."
Then she began to open glass cubbies and hand him the vials inside. "You have found health potion, ×28, alchemy class uncommon, alchemy level solution, alchemy strength processed, durability 5 of 5, weight 0.1 kilograms, traits will restore 447 health points over 15 seconds. "You have found mana potion, ×50, alchemy class uncommon, alchemy level, solution, alchemy strength, processed, durability, 5 of 5, weight, 0.1 kilograms. Traits, will restore 312 mana points over 16 seconds. "You have found stamina potion, ×50, alchemy class, uncommon, alchemy level, solution, alchemy strength, processed, durability, 5 of 5, weight, 0.1 kilograms. Traits, will restore 453 stamina points over 16 seconds. Richter sighed when he saw the amount of health potions. They really had burned through the red vials during the fight with the Mauler and Chupacabras. Tabia told him that she'd tried to make more, but even with the 10% success bonus given by the Dragon's Cauldron, there was still a 15% chance that any solution-level potion she tried to brew would fail. when it took an excess of 3 to 4 days of diligent attention to make even one batch, he was happy she'd been able to give him this much. The only reason she had been able to make this many potions was because of another one of the cauldron's properties that would copy a successfully made potion 10 times with a 100% reliability as long as enough ingredients were supplied. Though there weren't as many health potions as Richter had hoped, Tabia had been able to add other potions to the war effort. The first was more sun lotus poison, and the second was a highly flammable oil that was especially deadly to the undead. You have found sun lotus poison times 50. Alchemy class, uncommon. Alchemy level, infusion. Alchemy strength, fortified. Durability, 5 of 5. Weight, 0.1 kilograms. Traits. This poison has no effect on living creatures, but can be devastating to death creatures. Causes 48 to 69 damage per second of life damage for 16 seconds. You have found flammable life oil times 50. Alchemy class, unusual. Alchemy level, tincture. Alchemy strength, fortified. Durability, 5 of 5. Weight, 0.1 kilograms. Traits. Creatures caught in these flames will lose up to 85 HP per second. Flames will last up to 1 minute and 57 seconds. Plus 236% damage versus death.
I remembered when you told me about the life oil you used against the crypt mistress while claiming your second power, my lord.
Richter nodded. It had been the only way he'd been able to kill the crypt mistress.
I have been trying to reproduce it and finally found a recipe that worked, though it is only a tincture and the flames will not last long. There was one positive side effect of my experimentation, however. The oil I devised is extremely flammable.
Tabia always liked things better when they exploded or were flammable.
If you break several of these in a row on the ground, it should make a wall of flames.
Hearing that, Richter had to agree that it was cool when things were flammable.
I also have one more potion that should prove useful,
she added hesitantly. Richter was immediately on his guard. Tabia didn't hesitate about anything, including making explosives like red foxfire. She walked over to a cabinet and pulled out a contraption. It looked like two potion vials joined at the tops by a T-shaped piece of metal. A small pin was sticking out of the third leg that had a small perpendicular bar at the end for easy turning. In one vial was a metallic silver solution that glowed white, and in the other solution was an angry red fluid that glowed orange. She pulled a second device out of a second cabinet, handing him the first and laying the other on a nearby table.
"This," Tabia began, pointing at the silver side. It's a distillate of true silver I obtained by dripping acid onto one of the quickening rinds. This, she continued, pointing at the red side, is an extract of abyssal essence that I was able to gain from the heart of the goblet tree first made on Sion brought back to the village.
And this? Richter asked, pointing to the pin.
The piece of metal connecting the two vials has a cork core. At the center of the cork is a small ampule of acid. If you turn the pin, the ampule will break, and the acid will eat through the cork. Once it is gone, then both solutions will be able to mix.
And what happens then? Instead of answering, she led him to the back of the dragon's cauldron. While they walked, she asked him,
Do you remember how I used the glass cubbies to contain explosions when I was learning to make red foxfire?
Richter nodded. She'd only started that policy after she'd blown her own eyebrows off. It had turned out to be a very effective policy, though, because the magically reinforced cupboards were able to contain any accidental blasts without even taking a scratch. That was because core buildings were almost impossibly strong. The Dragon's Cauldron was not only a core edifice, but it was also made of the impossibly strong metal called glass, one of the hardest substances in the land. In scientific terms, that made the cauldron strong as balls. Not only had the cubbies been able to contain the red foxfire explosions, but core buildings were self-healing, and so any damage caused had been repaired in short order. That was why Richter's mouth dropped open when he saw an entire series of cubbies had been demolished, and several more surrounding ones were cracked.
That, Tabia told Richter in an instructional voice, is what happens when two powerful essences mix in an uncontrolled reaction.
In shock, apprehension and just a tad bit of pants-wetting fear, he looked back at the vial in his hand.
You have found Chemical Bomb. Item class, rare. Durability, 15 of 15. Weight, 0.5 kilograms. Traits. This device contains distilled celestial and abyssal essence. Combining these two extracts will create an extremely powerful explosion.
You?
He began, but he had to swallow, even though his throat was suddenly very dry.
You gave me a bomb and didn't tell me?
No, Tavia answered in an annoyed voice. I just told you. Were you not paying attention?
Richter carefully set the explosive down, stepped back several paces, then stepped back a few more. After that, he closed his eyes and started counting down from 10. While he did, he recited a mantra that had been very helpful in the past.
10, don't kill her.
9, she's pretty useful. 8, her wife Mimi would probably kill you anyway, seeing as she's a professed warrior. 7, Mimi is pretty hot, even though she doesn't talk much.
Once he was done with his calming exercise, he looked back at Tavia.
That thing was strong enough to destroy part of a core building, and you just gave it to me to hold?
His voice wasn't exactly calm.
To be honest, there was a good deal more celestial material and a small amount of abyssal in the cubby as well. I had decided to store most of it in the same place. That, she added speculatively, was most likely a mistake.
Richter stared at her in amazement, but she continued undaunted.
The extra raw material near the device magnified the effect of the explosion substantially. The explosion of your device will most likely not be quite as immense.
That doesn't sound very exact, Richter commented, still staring at the device again.
He was a bit bugged by the waste of materials, especially rare materials like the true silver rinds, but he didn't have time to scold Tavia at the moment. Tavia laughed with no real humor.
It is not! I have no idea exactly how powerful it will be, but I thought that since you are storming an enemy stronghold, you might want a backup plan.
Which would be blowing everything up? He asked in exasperation.
She just looked back at him nonplussed.
I would not recommend blowing up everything, my lord. You should try to avoid that blast, for instance.
He glared at her, and she relented a bit.
I used stronger vials when assembling these versions of the bombs, so they shouldn't break easily like the prototype. You could even toss them a short distance and there shouldn't be an issue. Probably, she added under her breath.
Richter could see the value of what she was saying, though he still thought she was a bit explosive happy. He did ask for one thing to be added, and she happened to have a vial of that readily at hand.
All right, I see what you're saying.
How long do I have once I mix them before it explodes? Her face took on the same expression that Hisako's had adopted when discussing how long the portal would last. Put another way, a perfect mix of guesstimation, educated guess, and utter bullshit.
The acid should eat through the cork in 10 to 15 seconds, and the solution should reach maximum volatility in another 5.
She moved her hands up and down like she was a scale weighing something. Or jiggling her wife's boobies, before she finally gave him an answer in a questioning tone.
10 to 20 seconds?
Richter slapped a hand to his face and started dragging it downward. He didn't start groaning until he heard her next words, though.
Plus or minus.
Chapter 97, Day 150, Jurin 1, 0, AOC.
Richter asked her to make one change to the bombs, which Tavia was easily able to accommodate. After that, he placed all the potions into his bag of holding, taking extra special care with the chemical bombs, left the cauldron, and went back down to the village. Dawn had come, and battle was not far behind. Before that happened, though, he had a few more settlement points left to spend. Moving the forge had cost 64 points, leaving him enough to make another building. Total settlement points remaining, 865. He already knew exactly what he wanted to spend them on. It only took a few minutes to walk over to the House of Scholarship. It was a simple building that was still beautiful, the white stone shining faintly in the dawn light. The day was still too young for all the village researchers to be at work, but the scholars had set up cots inside and normally slept there. Richter woke them, asking the two men to follow him outside. They did so with questioning expressions on their faces. In response, Richter smiled and accessed the building tab of the settlement point interface.
Know this. Upgrading an existing building will subtract its current worth in building points from the final upgrade cost. House of Scholarship. Current level 1. Research Speed. At level 1, plus 10%. Level 2, plus 20%. Level 3, plus 30%. Scribing Speed and Success. At level 1, plus 10%. Level 2, plus 20%. Level 3, plus 30%. Village Education, Lore, and Lore Acquisition. At level 1, plus 10%. Level 2, plus 20%. Level 3, plus 30%. Chance to have an epiphany. At level 1, plus 1%. Level 2, plus 3%. Level 3, plus 5%. Max RPs per day. At level 1, 10%. Level 2, plus 25%. Level 3, plus 50%. Durability bonus. At level 1, no bonus. Level 2, no bonus. Level 3, plus 10%. Daily research points. At level 1, not applicable. Level 2, 0.1 RP per day per researcher per rank. Level 3, 0.2 RP per day per researcher per rank. Blueprints, templates, recipes, schematics, etc. At level 1, not applicable. Level 2, not applicable. Level 3, research points can now be used to reverse engineer these magical documents if an example is available. Known magical documents can be advanced using research points if the prerequisite tech is known. Richter couldn't help but smile. The Mist Village was about to get smarter. The bonuses to research speed and education were great. The boost to the maximum RPs the village could generate each day was also good for the future, though they were nowhere near that ceiling yet. Bartle and B would definitely enjoy the boost to their scribing skills, and he was extremely excited to see the boost to the research points as well. Three of the new villagers had shown affinity in research, bringing the number of village researchers up to 12. Only the scholars had reached the initiate rank in the skill, which let them generate 1.5 RPs per skill level per day, while all the novice researchers could only produce 2/3 of that. The level 3 boost meant that the 12 men and women devoted to advancing his settlement's tech would earn another 2.4 RPs per day just thanks to the building. Coupled with the 30% boost to research speed, that really added up. The last line on the prompt was especially exciting, though. He hadn't known what extra benefits advancing the House of Scholarship to level 3 would bring, but he hadn't expected this. This was an opportunity to advance every template, schematic, recipe, and equivalent documents for any crafting-type skill. By advancing his research building to level 3, he would be giving his village the ability to make blueprints for any other building. Richter was sure the price in research points would probably be insane, but the point was, they could do it now. Would you like to purchase a level 3 House of Scholarship for 362 settlement points, yes or no? Hell yeah, he thought with a smile. Total settlement points remaining, 503. Another dome of mist appeared and a cacophony of hammering, smashing noises, and grinding came from inside. Several minutes later, the mists departed and a beautiful two-story building made of gleaming white marble was left in its place. The noise had awakened a fair number of villagers who came out to see what their lord was up to now. They stood with the scholars examining the marvel the magical mists had left behind. Everyone in the village knew that today was the day they went back to war, so the mood was understandably subdued. But Richter still saw a few smiles as they looked at the improved House of Scholarship. He hoped it would remind his people that no matter what happened in the battle, the village had a future.
Congratulations! You have created a level 3 House of Scholarship. Your settlement will now enjoy the building bonuses of increased research, scribing, and other scholarly pursuits from having such a building. Know this. You have greatly aided your settlement by creating this level 3 building.
plus 100 relationship points with any villagers possessing scholar-aligned skills, plus 50 relationship points with every other villager. Know this, a new job has been revealed. Wise man, choose wisely who will fill this position.
A new job? Richter thought excitedly. It was insane how some things were the same, no matter what world you were on. When you had money and resources, it was not only easier to succeed, but it also seemed like more opportunities to succeed were just thrown at you. He knew exactly who to choose.
The scholars were looking at their new building in amazement. He walked up to Bartle and laid a hand on the man's shoulder.
I hope you like your new digs, he told the man with a smile.
My lord, I...
Bartle stopped talking, at a loss for words.
I never imagined when my training debt was purchased and I was asked to come to the wilds of the forest that I would see such wonders. Not only have you brought a dungeon and core buildings, but with only a wave of your hand, you have created a level 3 house of knowledge.
He stopped talking again, searching Richter's face for long moments. His face firmed, and he went down on one knee. Ritual words of fealty spilled from the man's lips. B looked at him with surprise that matched Richter's own, but the other scribe fell to his knee before Bartle's oath was even done. That was a true shock to the Chaos Seed, until he saw the two men interlace fingers as they spoke.
Oh,
he thought to himself, realizing he should have guessed before. The two men had always had a Bert and Ernie kind of vibe. He accepted their oaths and, upon Bartle standing, offered him the job of village wise man. Even if the man hadn't been first to bend the knee, the job would still have gone to him. Of the two scholars, he was by far less prickly. Bartle promptly accepted with an excited grin, and Richter was notified that their relationship had advanced to loyal, the 10th positive rank. An unexpected benefit to Bartle's new position was that it also pleased B. Apparently, the man was so pleased at the honor that had been shown to his bow that Richter's relationship with him improved to rank 9, trusted. Much better than the result the Chaos Seed had feared of B being pissed that he hadn't been given the position. Richter had to wonder if the cascade of events was because of the relationship boost of upgrading the House of Scholarship. Like so many things in the land, though, he'd never know for sure. Having a village wise man offered immediate benefits to the whole settlement.
Congratulations, you have filled another job. Bartle is now the village wise man. His highest ranked science-focused skill is scribing at the rank of journeyman. His profession of scholar makes him well-suited for this task and increases any boons by 100%. Plus 1.2 research points generated each day. Plus 12% to village research speed. Plus 1.5% chance of having an epiphany. Plus 12% scribing speed.
With the building completed and the awesome new perk from having a wise man, which in his opinion was just a bomb-ass name for a job, he checked the current state of the village's research capabilities.
Village research. Daily earned research. 23.79. 1. 1 point per ley lines. 4 total. 2. 0.1 points per level of research skill. 9.3. Normal research restrictions apply. 3. Wise man. 1.2. Research rate modifiers. House of Scholarship, level 3, plus 30%. Wise man, plus 12%. 0.2 RPs per researcher per research rank per day. Plus 3.2. Current research, construction 1. Current progress, 22.09 of 132 RPs. Time to completion, 4 days, 14 hours, 52 minutes, 49 seconds.
Advancing the building to level 3 had nearly doubled the RPs the village made every day. He was absolutely sure he'd spent those points wisely. He was also super excited that upgrading the House of Scholarship had cost him much less than he had thought it would, thanks to the original building point cost of the level 1 version being deducted. The wooden hut would let him deduct 252 points from the final cost. It meant he still had enough settlement points to make another purchase. Considering the deal he'd just made with Crom, he was pretty sure his life expectancy would be greatly improved by doing something nice for Sumiko. He left the scholars behind and ran over to the healer's hut. It looked more like a stone wall, white tent hybrid than anything else. Peeking inside, he saw the beds were all empty and only a few healers were present. Sumiko was there as well, giving last-minute orders to her people. Battle wouldn't just be busy for the warriors. Unfortunately, there would be a good deal of wounded as well, and that was part of the best-case scenario. He prayed his people would make it back to be healed. The alternative meant laying more good men and women down for their final rest. The healer did not take being asked to leave her own building nearly as well as the scholars had. Richter was almost forced to order her outside before she agreed. Once she had, though, he wasted no time. Know this, upgrading an existing building will subtract its current worth in building points from the final upgrade cost. Healer's Hut, current level 0. Village Health, at level 0, 5%. Level 1, 10%. Level 2, 20%. Level 3, 30%. Disease Prevention, at level 0, 5%. Level 1, 10%, level 2, 20%, level 3, 30%. Recuperation speed after injury, at level 0, 5%, level 1, 10%, level 2, 20%, level 3, 30%. Bonus to healing potions, magics, etc. At level 0, not applicable. Level 1, not applicable. Level 2, plus 10%. Level 3, plus 20%. Bonus to population growth. At level 0, not applicable. Level 1, not applicable. Level 2, plus 10%. Level 3, plus 20%. Building durability. At level 0, not applicable. Level 1, not applicable. Level 2, not applicable. Level 3, plus 10%. Villager hit points. At level 0, not applicable. Level 1, not applicable. Level 2, not applicable. Level 3, plus 10%. Richter chose a level 3 building made entirely of marbled quartz. Minutes later, a new building appeared. Total settlement points remaining, 7. It had almost wiped out every remaining settlement point, but he was sure it was worth it. In the next few minutes, Richter discovered just how important advancing the buildings of his settlement could be. Congratulations! You have created a level 3 House of Healing. Your settlement will now enjoy the building bonus of increased health, population growth, and hit points allotted from having such a building. Know this, you have greatly aided your settlement by creating this level 3 building. Plus 100 relationship points with any villagers possessing healing skills. Plus 50 relationship points with every other villager. Then a prompt appeared that inverted the normal colors of his village prompts, something he had never seen before. When he read it, his mouth dropped open in shock. Know this. You have built a leveled building that exemplifies one of the four powers your village is built upon. For reaching the third level of this building, the bonus is 3 times higher. Life magic is an unusual or scarce skill, depending on race and other factors, making the normally occurring incidence of a person being born with an affinity greater than 50% in the skill 1 out of every 100 or 1,000 individuals, respectively. The presence of the quickening may affect this in days to come if the ambient magic increases sufficiently, but this has not occurred yet. For creating a level 3 House of Healing over a life place of power, your village is given the following boons. 1. The incidence of those being born with an affinity greater than 50% in life magic has increased by a factor of 3. 2. Every villager with life magic has their life magic skill affinity increased by plus 15%. 3. Every villager with life magic gains 3 levels in life magic. Advancing this building in level again will increase these boons. No more than one building can be used to exemplify each power in a settlement. Congratulations! You have reached skill levels 17, 18, and 19 in life magic. New spells are now available. Know this, increasing any affinity above 100% will trigger an automatic increase in skill level. This increase will continue, decreasing the total affinity by 10% per level until your affinity is 100% or less. Know this, increasing your affinity in life magic by 15% awards you a further 2 skill levels in life magic. Congratulations, you have reached skill levels 20 and 21 in life magic. New spells are now available. You have received 5,000 bonus experience for reaching level 20 in the skill Life Magic.
Sumiko and Richter looked at one another in astonishment. He hadn't been expecting any of this, but was delighted. His reaction was nothing compared to the healer's, however. Tears began to fall down her face. She embraced him, burying her head into his armored chest.
Thank you,
she told him, weeping tears of joy.
I never thought I would advance my life magic again. Even the fruit of the quickening did not do this, but you did. When I reached skill level 100, my affinity was only 49%. I should not have been able to advance, but with decades of the Hearth Mother's aid and personal guidance, I finally became a master. Bonding with my life pixie greatly increased my affinity, but I still might have spent years to advance only a single level. You, my lord, have made an abandoned dream come true, not only once, but 3 times.
Love and dedication lay in her gaze.
Lord Richter, you have fulfilled the most heartfelt desire of Sumiko. In doing so, you have gained the maximum number of relationship points possible for a single action, plus 250,000 relationship points with Sumiko. Total relationship points, plus 311,154. Congratulations! Your relationship with Sumiko has improved from loyal, plus 55,000, to soul-blooded, plus 250,000. Sumiko will fight by your side unto death, and if she can ever find her way back through the veil, she will fight for you again.
Richter had no idea all this was going to happen. Other prompts showed more relationship boosts with every other biomancer in the village, though none nearly as profound as Sumiko's. He also received prompts showing that the village-wide health boost had pleased his entire people and further ensured their loyalty.
Know this, your people have all benefited from your choices with a boost to their health of plus 10%. Their morale and loyalty will change to reflect this. Plus 50 morale points for increasing the health of your villagers by plus 10%. Total morale points, plus 2,081. Plus 20 loyalty points for increasing the health of your villagers by plus 10%. Total loyalty points, plus 4,460.
I will fight with you through death, Sumiko told him with an almost zealous fire in her eyes.
For once, Richter didn't make a joke. Let's hope it doesn't come to that. I only need to know if you are ready for what comes next.
Chapter 98, Day 150, Jurin 1, 0, AOC. Sumiko nodded and called for her biomancers to walk with her to the dungeon. Richter stopped her, though, saying there was a better way. They all gathered around him, and he cast Dungeon Transport. 9 seconds later, he, Alma, and the healers appeared next to the Well of Offering. Roswan was waiting.
There are too many people in the dungeon,
the elf stated without preamble. Richter couldn't say he was wrong. Hisako's sprite army and the Mist Village's own force had already started to fill the entrance chamber. More were arrayed on the ramp leading to the surface. All were steely-eyed and ready for whatever the day would bring. Almost none knew the full extent of the plan, but that did not matter. Every man and woman in the Allied forces was ready to once again fight for their lord and lady. The dungeon master looked at his dungeon keeper.
Don't get your knickers in a twist. I've got a little gift for you, too.
He converted the 7 remaining settlement points into dungeon points to be used at Roswan's discretion. The mustache wiggled in appreciation. After hearing a contented grrrr, Richter told him, come on. The 2 men and Sumiko walked through the shimmering energy field into the dungeon proper. A moment later, they were in the inner room of the Barbican. As soon as they walked inside, a warning prompt appeared in Richter's vision.
Warning! You have now exceeded the maximum occupancy of this room. Reduce the total occupants to 50 or less within the next 7 minutes, or the Barbican's gates will be opened and all bonuses suspended.
Greetings, my lord,
Tirad greeted him, unknowingly echoing the prompt. Sion just nodded. They were both fully armed and armored. They, as well as every other person in the Barbican, had also received the dungeon's warning.
Before anything else, please know how much I appreciate you providing us with the barracks. I have not seen it personally yet, but my men have told me it is a sight to behold.
No less than you deserve, my friend, Richter responded. But let's celebrate it after we kick some zombie butt, huh? A smile creased Tirad's face.
Quite right, my lord.
He went back into report mode.
The Barbican has 30 guards and 20 Maedon sprites, including myself and First Maedon Sion. I believe having you in the room will exceed the maximum occupancy, however.
No time to waste, Richter agreed, nodding. It won't be a problem in a moment, though. Follow me to the battlements. They all walked up the steps and out to the front of the battlements. Tirad had already started stocking it with spare bundles of arrows and barrels of oil and water. The captain would not take part in the assault through the portal, something he had argued long and hard against. When Richter had made it clear that the captain's place was to safeguard the village, though, he had bowed his head in assent and committed himself fully to the task. He had even brought the scorpion ballista that had been made for Shiavanna's ship and had rigged a brace for it. It sat in one corner and could easily be swiveled to cover the area in front of the Barbican. Richter gave the captain his thanks. Tirad saluted back, saying nothing. To the captain, this was his responsibility, and he would see it done, praise or no. Once they were overlooking the sea of red columns, Richter also saw that his tamed mauler was still standing in the same place, awaiting his command. It might have been his imagination, but he thought he saw hate behind the creature's eyes. True or not, it was still under the thrall of his blood magic for the next several hours. As he checked the barrier, though, it felt unstable compared to the last time. Contrarily, the Mauler's true consciousness was not railing against the wall of deeper magic like last time. Instead, it just looked out quietly, almost like it was waiting. Richter shook his head. The blood magic would hold. It had to. Even if his control was weakening, it only needed to last another hour. After that, it wouldn't matter. No matter how the battle played out, the labyrinth creature would not be returning to the village. A few Genet prowlers and Koran Tuskers loitered in front of the Barbican, but none approached the gates. To Richter's eyes, there was nothing out of place and no reason to wait. He accessed the interface for the Barrow of the Chaos Serpent. The old options were there, but at the top was a new title called Call of the Dungeon. He mentally selected it.
Greetings, Dungeon Master Richter. You may use your one Call of the Dungeon to marshal the forces of the Barrow of the Chaos Serpent to fight on your behalf for one day and one day only. Do you wish to do so now, yes or no?
Without hesitation, Richter chose yes. A massive hiss filled the air, and every monster currently living in the dungeon made its way to the central chamber.
Call of the Dungeon. The following changes are in effect for one day. All forces that you mark as friendly or neutral will be immune to traps and monsters of the Barrow of the Chaos Serpent. As Dungeon Master, you may command these forces, though their level of compliance will be contingent on the intelligence of the forces you now control. As Dungeon Master, you may give others control of these forces as well. No loot or resources can be claimed by any friendly or neutral forces until the call has elapsed. Any attempt to do so will negate that individual's immunity. All occupancy limits are suspended. Dungeon forces at your disposal. 2 Chupacabras, levels 21 through 22. 42 Genet Prowlers, levels 10 through 17. 41 Koran Tuskers, levels 8 through 15.
Due to the call of the dungeon, the warning regarding the Barbican occupancy is suspended.
Richter looked at Tarad and gave a simple command. Bring everyone.
Then he gave command of the dungeon forces to Tarad, Calder, the two Mist Village corporals Ox and Schroeder, Sion, and the sprite's second-in-command Kenjiro. Yoshi and Hisako were also given the ability to control the beasts. 30 minutes later, the battlements were fully manned. The rest of the allied forces were in the courtyard below and were also arrayed in front of the Barbican. Nearly 100 monsters loitered nearby, along with several 100 warriors of the Hearth Tree and Mist Village. The soldiers sent many nervous looks at the century of bloodthirsty beasts standing only a few yards away, but they retained their composure and trusted their commanders. The same commanders who were listening to Hisako go through the battle plan for a final time.
The Decamer Knight will open the portal. It will most likely be destroyed instantly, but I will gain control of the portal as soon as it is opened. Once the gateway is stabilized, it might connect instantly to the Lich's domain, or it might take a few seconds. I cannot know beforehand. I hope that it will deposit you at the top of the mausoleum, but if it does not, you will have to fight your way to the top while you keep the hordes below from swarming you from behind.
I have something that might help with that, Richter told her. He showed them the flammable life oil. It causes 85 points of damage a second, and it does a whole lot more against death creatures. By my calculations, the undead should lose almost 300 points per second. Only problem is that it won't last long. After I go through, I'll smash a few of these on the steps behind us. Once I light it on fire, it should slow down the undead climbing the steps to get to us.
That is a good thought, but do not use them all at once. The memory you shared shows more staircases on at least two other sides of the pyramid. Blocking the staircase nearest to you will buy you time, but you will still have to move quickly. If you are there too long, they will flank and overwhelm you.
That's why I'm counting on Mr. Key to the City here, Richter motioned to the mauler. I have a few other ideas as well.
Very good, Hisako stated, grabbing the reins of the conversation again. After the portal is open, Lord Richter will send the labyrinth monster through the portal and will follow with a small group of fighters. Remember, the goal is to kill the Lich, not to destroy his entire army. If the passage of the first wave of fighters does not have too much of a detrimental effect, then we will send the dungeon beast through to attack.
This was a small point of contention, and Hisako raised her concerns to Richter a final time.
I completely agree that using your call of the dungeon to open the portal here is wise. There is always a chance that the Lich's forces might try to cross through here, and, if the worst occurs, we can hold them off from the Barbican. As many benefits as there are to opening the portal here, however, I still question the wisdom of sending the dungeon's beast through the portal as the second wave of attackers. You must remember that every person who crosses through the gateway will decrease the time I can keep it open. Every beast you send through increases the risk that you will be left on the other side with thousands of undead.
Her eyes flicked to her son.
That all of you will be left there. The damage a level 12 beast can inflict is much less than any one of my warriors. Might it not be more prudent to send only our strongest warriors?
She and Richter had already had this argument. He couldn't deny that she was right. A professed sprite warrior would definitely be worth more than the dungeon beasts, but the beasts were replaceable. The men and women of the allied forces were not. Richter knew that the Lich had to be destroyed, but if he could have completed the mission risking no other life than his own, he would have. The Chaos Seed had grown a great deal, though, and had finally learned he could not handle every problem himself, and that when he tried, others could still get hurt. He would lead his people and his allies into battle, but he would do everything he could to keep them alive. If that meant using the dungeon monsters as battle fodder, he was only sorry there were not more of them to sacrifice. The other bonus was that while the beasts would worsen the portal's instability, it was a one-way trip for them, and they would not need to factor in the effect of a return journey. Hisako was completely right about the beasts being outclassed, though. The undead in Nian's memory looked formidable. They didn't have any information on the enemy's exact levels, but they had been chosen to guard the mausoleum out of the thousands of undead that were nearby. There was no doubt in any of their minds that the Lich's guardians would be extremely tough. In contrast, Some of the dungeon beasts were only level 8. Richter had already thought about that, though, and had taken steps to even the odds. I've had Roswan smearing Sun Lotus poison on all of their tusks, spines, claws, and quills. It will do 50 to 70 damage a second to any undead that gets infected, if that's the right word, for 15 seconds. I agree that the beasts...